Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our new Masechta, Maseches Krisus, we notice that on this Daf Beis Omer Aleph, there is entirely Mishnah, just the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of the Masechta. On the outside margin, under our Nosei heading, Nosei is a topic heading, in the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we provide topic headings called Nosei and structural notes when needed from time to time that we refer to by the expression Mivneh. In this case, under our Nosei heading in the outside margin, we have written Rishima Shel Chayvei Krisus. Our Mishnah will provide a list of offenses that would lead to the penalty or the punishment of Kores. Rashi defines Kores over here as someone who dies without leaving children. There are other approaches to Kores, namely dying before the end of one's life. For our purposes, though, we'll refer to this, as we always do in Gemara markings, as the punishment of Kores. The Mishnah, Shloshim Vishesh Krisus Batura. There are 36 different instances of Kores that are mentioned in the Torah. Habo al Hoem, one who has intimacy with one's mother, Vial Ashes Av, with one's father's wife, not necessarily his mother, but a woman who married one's father, Vial Hakala, a daughter-in-law. Habo al Hazahur, this is a reference to homosexual relations. The Al Habahema, one who has relations with an animal. The Isha Hamavia Habahema Leo, or a woman that brings a male animal upon her. Habo Al Isha Ubita, one who has relations with a woman and her daughter. The Al Ashes Ish, one who has relations with a woman who is married to another man. We have noted here that up till this point, these are offenses that if there had been a warning and two witnesses present, this would lead to the punishment of stoning. Kores is a punishment that's heavenly, and hence it is suffered by one who violates these offenses knowingly, bemazed, but in the absence of Edim and Hasra, in the absence of witnesses and a warning, so based in the earthly court cannot act. Hence, there is a Kores penalty. Habo al Achosoi ve'al Achos Aviv, one who has relations with his own sister or his father's sister, ve'al Achos Imo, or one's mother's sister, ve'al Achos Ishto, or one's wife's sister, ve'al Eshes Ochiv, or one's brother's wife, we call that a sister-in-law, ve'al Eshes Achi Aviv, having relations with the wife of one's father's brother. The Al Hanida, having relations with a woman during her female monthly period. The Hamegadef. Now, the term Megadef itself, there are a couple of opinions as to what it is. Rashi cites them. One says is one who curses the Almighty, and the other opinion is one who sings praises to an idol. The Oved Avodas Kochavim, the practice of idolatry. The Hanoisein Mizaro Lamolech, one who gives his child over to the Molech entity Molech is a topic that is featured in the Torah, and it involves giving one's child over to this entity and having it passed between rows of fire. Exactly what Molech is, whether it's a form of idolatry or something else, is a separate issue to discuss. For our purposes, we refer to it simply as a Torah prohibition of Molech. Number 19, Ubal Oiv. Baal Ov is a type of, I'm calling it a general topic of witchcraft and fortune-telling. Umchalel Shabbos, one who violates Shabbos. V'tomei she'ochal es ha'kodesh, a person who is ritually impure, who consumed sacrificial meat. V'habo el ha'mikdosh tomei, or one who enters the base of Mikdash in a state of ritual impurity. V'ho'ochel, one who eats chelev, v'dam, v'nosar, upigol, one who eats chelev, are what's often translated as forbidden fats. It's forbidden tissue matter in animals that are slaughtered, kosher animals, but there are certain sections that are usur, and it's called chelev. V'dam is blood, and nosar is the leftover sacrificial meat. Upigol is a reference to sacrifices that were slaughtered with an incorrect intention, namely with an intention to eat the meat at the wrong time. Vashochet umale b'chutz, one who slaughters a sacrifice or offers it up on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. V'oichel chometz Pesach, one who eats chometz on the holiday of Pesach. V'oichel v'oisim melacha b'yom Kippur, one who eats on Yom Kippur, or one who does constructive activity on Yom Kippur. V'hamefatim es ha-shemen. This is a reference to someone who prepares the shemen that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared in the Torah. It's called shemen ha-mishcha, which was used for anointing the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash and for anointing kings as well. So one is who prepares it for his own use. V'hamefatim es ha-ktoras, one who prepares the incense that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, and he prepares it for his own purposes. V'ha-soch es ha-shemen ha-mishcha, one who smears the shemen ha-mishcha, that was the special oil that we just referred to, one who smears that on him. V'ha-pesach v'ha-mila mitzvah saseh. The last two examples here of the Korban Pesach and Mila, those are examples of positive commands that you're expected to do. All the rest were really negative commands. Don't do these things. Don't have the forbidden relations. Don't give your child over to the Molech. Then the way to the violation of those would be bekumvase, by getting up and doing them. Here, the mitzvahs asay of Pesach and Mila is do the mitzvah. By not doing it, by being b'shev v'altase, that engenders the kores penalty. So the Mishnah goes on and says, al elu chayovin, on these things that we've mentioned in this Mishnah, al dono kores, if one does violate them knowingly, he's chayev the kores penalty. Vashigoso chatos, if one is violates it inadvertently, he's not aware of what he's doing in the fullest sense of the word. He's under a misimpression, we'll say. That's called shogeg. So then, if he violates these things, with the exception of Pesach and Mila, he would be chayev a chatos, a sin offering. Ve'al loy hodol shelohem oshem toluy. In a case where he is not aware of definitely having violated them, he would be guilty of bringing an osham tolui. It's a type of korban, a type of suspended korban, which is brought in the event that a person is not sure whether he violated. When it becomes obvious that he did violate, he'll then bring a korban chatas. Chutz min hametam imigdish v'kadoshav, the exception to this rule being someone who is involved with entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tuma or eating korbanos in a state of Tuma. There is no Osham Tolui brought on korbanos that when you know you violated them, you would bring what's called a korban chatos, that's fluctuating price. Fluctuating price, we mean that depending on your income level, you would bring, either if you're a man of means, you would bring a large animal, and if you're a man of limited financial abilities, you'll bring a bird offering instead. So that's called oil of yoreid. It rises and falls depending on one's income level. So Rabbi Meir is telling us that metame mikdash bekodoshav would be examples of things that if you did it, if one did it b'mezid, he would be chayav a kores penalty. If, however, one is not sure whether he violated it, he will not bring an osham toloi, as opposed to all the rest of the offenses mentioned above, with the exception of Pesach Hamila, he would bring an osham toloi. V'chachomim omrim af hamegadev. This line, we have to wait for the Gemara to explain. What do they want by adding this? Shenemar, Torah tziva, Torah achas ye lochem lo'isa b'shgoga. The Pasuk says that there is one rule for he who does things b'shgoga. And with that we understand, yotza megadef she'en bo maisa, to the exclusion of megadef, where there is no maisa. There's no, it's a violation that one violates through speech. As we mentioned earlier in taking our cues from the Rashi, this last section of the Mishnah will be dealt with more extensively later on. As we turn to the Gemara on the top of Omid Beis, one will notice some markings. We have the use of a double underline and diamonds that will appear. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you see the double underline featured. This will be highlighting the expression Minyono Lomali, which means, what do I need the Mishnah to state a number for? Lomo Muskur Kanba Mishnah Ba'od Mishnayis Es Mispar HaDvorim. Why does this Mishnah and many other Mishnayis take the trouble of mentioning the number of items that are mentioned when they are, after all, enumerated? Me'achar she haprotim rishumim v'nitan lisporosam. If, like in our Mishnah, we have a list of offenses that yield a kores penalty, wouldn't it be just as effective to simply list them off instead of adding the opening phrase that there are 36, you could say that the Mishnah could have said these are chayav in kores, and then present a list, and I could count on my own. What do I benefit by spelling out the number? As you continue in the note, you see the diamond, and that is going to highlight the expression su. Su means furthermore. Od Mishnayas Shemofia Bohen Mispar, other Mishnayas where a number appears, a number in the Mishnah appears, when in fact the Mishnayas themselves, these other Mishnayas, go on to enumerate the items. V'aleim Yesh L'shol Oiso She'ela, and regarding them we should ask the same question. Minyana Lamali, what do I need the number four? Minyono Lomali. What do I need the number 36 to be stated in our Mishnah 4? Om Rabbi Yochanan, this number tells me She'im Ason Kulam Behelem Achas. If one were to violate all of the offenses mentioned in the Mishnah in one state of lack of awareness, chayov al kol achas v'achas, he would be guilty of having violated each one, and in a state of lack of awareness, one would then be obligated to bring a separate korban chatos for each and every offense. So that even though a person doesn't discover at any point between different sins, that he has violated something, he discovers only afterwards, he will still be chayav for each one separately. So that we learn the concept of lechalek, that he's chayav for each one separately, even though there was one continuous state of lack of awareness, which is called helem echad, helem meaning something that's hidden or lack of awareness. V'su, ha disnan, ovois malachos, mem choser achas, the number of major Shabbos activities, which we call malachos, are 39. Minyana lamali. Why does the Mishnah and Shabbos have to tell me that there are 40 minus 1, which means 39 ovos malachos, when the Mishnah goes on to enumerate each one? Answer, Shim Ason Kula Mehelam Achas, Chayef Al Kol Achas V'Achas. Likewise, with regard to Shabbos, if a person violates each one of the malachas listed in the Mishnah there, and violates them without having achieved a state of awareness that he violated Shabbos, so even though it's one continuous state of lack of awareness, nevertheless, he's chayev a separate korban chatos for each offense, a separate sin offering for each offense. V'su ha'disnan, arba mechusrei kapora. The Mishnah mentions that there are four situations where a person is called a mechusrei kapora. That's a type of situation where he needs to bring a sacrifice to complete a period of ritual impurity. In other words, the final stage in achieving purification. Until that point, he's called mechusrei kapora, missing atonement. There are four cases of mechusrei kapora. Why do you have to spell out the number when I could figure it out by just counting the separate examples up on my own? So, minyan olamali. Answer, la fuke midrub lezer b'yaykev di omar chamisha havi. This Mishnah that says there are four mechusrei kapora is to the exclusion of the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yankiv that says there are five. Disanya, Rav Elazar ben Yankiv Omer. Here we have a Tanaic source. You can see it's in a frame, and we frame in Gemara markings all of our Tanaic sources. Rav Elazar ben Yankiv says, Ger mechusrei kapora ad shiyizok dam olav. A convert is also considered a mechusrei kapora. When a person converts, he needs to bring sacrifices. That is, in addition to his circumcision and immersion in a mikveh, he needs sacrifices. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv says that a ger is also called mechusrei kapora. This state of mechusrei kapora has ramifications with regard to the eating of sanctified meat, of korbanos, for example. Ahochi tana dalid. That's why the Mishnah there says there are four mechusrei kapora, whereby we don't include the ger in that category. That's the opinion only of Rav Elazar ben Yankiv, who would say that ger is added to the list. But the Mishnah there that says there are four is to the exclusion of this opinion. Su ha'disnan. Another Mishnah says, Arba mevi'im al hazodon kishgoga. There are four cases, four types of offenses that even though they were done knowingly, that's zodon, they will bring a sin offering as if it were a violation done the shogate without awareness. In general, the korban chatas is brought only for a person who violated something without being aware, without intention. There are four cases, though, that even though there was intention to violate the mitzvah, there nevertheless will be subject to bringing a sacrifice. So, Minyan Olamali, why do you have to spell out the number? I could simply count up the cases on my own. Answer, La Fuke Midrebi Shimon. this number is coming to the exclusion of the approach of Rabbi Shimon Desanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shavuos Apikadon Lo Nitan Zdoino Lechapora. Rabbi Shimon says that a person who was entrusted with an article and swore falsely that he didn't have it anymore, denies having received it, that is Shavuos HaPikolon. Pikolon is an item that's entrusted to you to watch. So the Shomer swears that he doesn't have it, when in fact he does. Rabbi Shimon says that kind of behavior doesn't have atonement. So Ahachi Tona Dalet, that's why it was necessary to teach four to the exclusion of Rabbi Shimon, that Shavuos HaPikolon will generate the bringing of a korban, even though it's done with knowledge, it violated knowingly. Su Hadisnan Chamisha Mevi'in Korban Echod Alaveiros Harbe. There are five examples of people that will bring one sacrifice for the violation of numerous sins. Minyana Lamali, what do I need a number for? I can just count up the examples. Mishum the Kaboy Lemis Nesefa, the significance of the this particular Mishnah is the latter part of the Mishnah, the Seifa of the Mishnah, where it says Nozir im Nitmo Tumos Harve. The Nozir, who was guilty of numerous Tumos, a Nozir is instructed to avoid Tumas Meis, the defilement to the dead. A Nazir, if he experienced numerous tumos, so he will bring only one korban for the multiple tumos. Umishkachas law, you can have a situation like that, kigon di itmi bishvi'i, a person became tomei, and then is expected to wait 7 days before he achieves tara. But on the seventh day, this person who had accepted upon himself a nozir vow, a nozir vow, by the way, if you don't accept a specific number of days, it's a 30-day wine abstention period in which one doesn't take a haircut and one doesn't defile himself to the dead either. So if you have a nozir who had become tamei and on the seventh day, since his initial tumah, he becomes tomei again. That's the chozer v'nitmo b'shvi. This would be an illustration of someone who's nitmo tumos harbe, and he'll bring one korban for all of those tumos. Umani Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda hi. This description that we just mentioned, that tuma on the seventh day, a recurring tuma on the seventh day, is called tumos harbe, and he'll bring one korban. This conforms to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rebbe on a particular point, which we will touch on in the Gemara. De Omar, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, Nezirus detaro min shvi hu dechayal ole. A person starts counting his new Nezirus period, the 30-day period that he needs to count, from day 7 since his Tumah. So that on day 7, when he reaches day 7 of the Tahara days, the days of purity, he starts counting, he would start counting again his 30-day period for Nazirus. But what happens in this case is that each time he reaches day 7, he becomes Tomei again. De'i Teimo Rebihi, if you were to say that this Seifa is according to Rebbe, Kevon di Omar, Rebbe's opinion though is different. Nazirus Detaro Ad Shmini Lo Chayal Olei, when one had become Tomei, he doesn't have a right to start counting his replacement or his new Nozir period until the eighth day. That's the day on which a person who had been Tomei will bring Korbonus. for the tumah that he experienced. So according to Rebbe, since the new counting doesn't start till the eighth day of the from the point he had become tumah, Heshi Mishkachas Law. How could you have the Sefer reading as it does one korban for many tumos? E de nitmo b'shvi'i, the chozar v'nitmo b'shvi'i. If the Sefer is according to Rebbe and he had become tumah on the seventh day and then 7 days later again become tumah, kulo chado tumo arich tahi, that would not be called tumos harbe, many tumos. It would just be considered one lengthy tumah period. V'i nitmo b'shmini v'chazer v'nitmo b'shmini. And if the Sefer is according to Rebbe, and it's describing a case that he became Tomei on the eighth day, and then again on the eighth day, on the next eighth day, Kevon di Yotze b'shal ruya lahavi bo korban, since he kept reaching the eighth day, at which point he became Tomei again, the eighth day is the day on which a person who was Tomei brings his korbanus, namely 8 days after he experienced the Tumah, will he bring a korban. So since if this were the case, that he becomes if the recurring tumah is on the eighth day, chayov al kol achas v'achas. Let's read that line again. Kevon shiyotze b'shal ruya lahavi korban, since he's reached the time that he could actually bring the korban, namely that eighth day, if there's recurring tumah on the eighth day, chayov al kol achas v'achas. He would be chayov a separate korban for each tumah period. So rather we have to conclude that the Sefer there that described one korban covering numerous tumos is something that only Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda could author. And how does that work? So just to review the point again, he has experiences recurring tumah on the seventh day since his previous tumah. Now, the seventh day, what's significant about it for Rabbi Yossi Yehuda? On that day, he starts counting his new Nazirus period, the new 30-day period that he has to make up. However, that's not the day that he would bring the korbanos, the sacrifices that he owes as a result of the Tumah. So, as such, it's considered multiple tumos, but one korban will be sufficient to cover all of these recurring tumos. Here the Gemara finally gets to the question of where do Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda appear. My Rebbe, Umay Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, the Gemara till now was simply referring to them by name, but where are their opinions expressed in a source? The Sanya, the Tanaic source in the regarding Nozir, says, V'kidash es roishoi bayoy mahu. Literally, he shall sanctify his head on that day. Which, for our purposes, would mean the Nozir who had become Tomei, he is able to start counting his new Nazirus period. His new Nazirus, the replacement Nazirus period that he has to make up. He has to have a continuum of 30 Tomei-free days. So, the Pasuk says, On that day he shall start his Nazirus of Tara. Well, when is that? B'yoyim havoas korbanos as divrei Rebbe, on the day that he brings his sacrifices. That is the eighth day since his initial tumah. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'yom tigloch hasoi, on the day that he shaves his head as a result of having been tumah. The shaving of the head is on the seventh day since his tumah. The Gemara, in dealing with numbers featured in Mishnayos, continues asking, Su, ha disnan, chamisha mevien korban oyla v'yoreid. There are five that bring fluctuating priced sacrifices, five examples of cases where the Torah makes an allowance for, or is sensitive to one's income level, with regard to what kind of korban he's expected to bring. A rich man will bring an animal, a poor man will bring a bird offering. That's called an oilav yored, going up and down, fluctuating price korban. There are five averos, five sins that yield that necessity, the bringing of a korban chatos that's, whose price could be fluctuating. But once again, the mission opens up with a stating a number. Hey, five, bring. Minyan olamali, what do I need the number for? Could I not just count up the examples? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kotoni Seifa, because the Seifa says, Nosi Kayotze Bohen, Toni Hamisha, Lafuki Midurabalozer, Diomar Nosi Mevi Sawyer. In order to appreciate this, we will look at the Rashi. You'll notice a Rashi with a star that we will take a look at. The Rashi will explain this piece of Gemara that says that had said that the reason for the Seifa, or the explanation of the Seifa that says that Nosi Kayotze Bohen, that the Nosi is like them with regard to this issue of bringing a fluctuating priced korban, and this is to the exclusion of the opinion Lafuki mit Rabbi Elazar Domer Nosi Mevi Soir, to the exclusion of Rabbi Elazar's opinion regarding the Nosi who would bring a Soir. This Gemara is very, very vague. Maybe even before we learn the Rashi, just a word about this topic. A Nosi is the reference to a king. When a king violates a type of sin that warrants a general sin offering, not specifically the issue here of Oyla V'yorid, of these sins with fluctuating priced sin offerings, but in general, a king who violates, let us say he ate dam, he ate blood, or he ate chelev, these are offenses that warrant the bringing of a standard sin offering. A private person would bring a female goat or sheep as his sin offering. A king brings a male goat, a so'ir, as his sin offering. What about the king within the realm of these offenses that generate a fluctuating priced korban? So now Rashi will elaborate and explain what we are accomplishing here. Mishum dekotoni seifa. Notice, of course, the Rashi we mentioned before with the star. Bahorius perek sheni. This is discussed in the second perek of Horius. Ve'airi bahano chamisha. There it speaks about these five kinds of offenses that warrant a fluctuating price sin offering, the Kotoni Hochi, and it says thusly, Ein Bezdin Chayovin. Bezdin is a reference to the Sanhedrin that issues an erroneous legal ruling concerning a sin, concerning the topic of something that would warrant the bringing of a sin offering. So, in the event that Bezdin issues an erroneous ruling, they bring a par helam dover shel tzibur. It's a special sacrifice that essentially is brought by them, atoning for everyone who sinned by following their ruling. However, it says that Bezdin will not be chayav, ein Bezdin chayovin al shmias hakoil ve'al bituis fosayim v'chulei. Bezdin, if they issued an erroneous psak regarding Shmias HaKoyel, has to do with the realm of testimony, or Bitui Sfasayim has to do with the realm of someone vowing. Those are areas of sin that if one violates them, he brings a fluctuating price korban. Based in, if they issue an erroneous ruling regarding those areas, will not be chayev to bring the par helam delver shel tzibur. V'nosi kayotze bohen, klomar, de potur behanoch. There it says that a nosi, a king, if he is in violation of a shmias koil or of bitui sfosayim, he will be exempt. Mishum de shayich behu korban oyla v'yoreid. those are areas that if a commoner violates, brings a sin offering, but based on his income level. Vanius benasi lo shchicha, the phenomenon of poverty by a king is very uncommon, very unusual to have an impoverished king. As a result of that, it's as if to say that the need to bring a sacrifice for those offenses with regard to a king was never stated. Rabbi Lozer Omer Nasi Mevi Soir Kedinoi B'chol Hamitzah Shebetorah. Rabbi Lozer says that a Nasi, a king, is obligated to bring a sin offering if he violates one of those vows that we alluded to, just as he brings a Soir in violating any other type of offense that warrants a sin offering. V'amrin b'gemara, lo omar Rebbe Lezer, ela betumas mikdash v'kodoshav. The Gemara in Horia says that Rebbe Lezer mentioned that a king brings a soir in the case of what would otherwise be a fluctuating price korban if it involved a commoner. That's with regard to tumas mikdash v'kodoshav. Those are sins dealing with ritual impurity and entrance to the Beis HaMikdash or eating of sacrifices. Why? Why there will a king bring the korban so'ir, the chatos so'ir? Hoyol v'ne'emar bohen kores ke bikvua, since there is a kores penalty associated with tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, in the case that one violates it knowingly. Ke bikvua means like is the case with other fixed price offenses, fixed price sin offerings brought for other types of offenses. Lahachi Tana Hacha Chamisha. Therefore, we have the Tanaic source cited here in our Gemara about five offenses. There's a fluctuating price korban, and it says in the Sefer Nosi Kayotz Bohen, La'ashmi'inen the dafka nokat the chol hamevi korban al chamesh averos halalu eino mevi kavua ela oyla v'yoreid. That specifically these five offenses, one will not bring a fixed price korban, but a fluctuating price korban. Velo tamo, and don't say the following. The next 2.5 lines that Rashi says, don't say. And don't say, sami mikan tumas mikdash v'kodoshav, remove the case of tumas mikdash v'kodoshav from the list of five offenses. Ukuma kerebi Eliezer, in order to establish the Mishnah like Rebbe Eliezer, diomar mevi nosi olei korban kavua. Whereby Rebbe Lezer says a Nasi in the case of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev would not bring a fluctuating price korban. He brings a fixed price korban. Ela, now what are we yes supposed to say? Ela eino mevi kvua. Rather, in the case of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev, the Nasi will not bring a fixed price korban. Ela, rather, what happens in the case that a Nasi is in violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev? E Rabbi Yossi Haglili de Potarle Legamri, it might follow Rabbi Yossi Haglili's approach that he is actually exempt completely. E Rabbi Akiva of Rabbi Shimon de Mechaibule Boyle Vyoreid, or it will follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon that says the Nasi will bring a fluctuating price korban, dahainu kispo, siira, that's a sheep or female sheep or goat, if he has money, and he most likely does, or bird offerings if he doesn't. So the point here is that it was important for this source to say there are five cases of fluctuating price korbanos, cases of fluctuating price sin offerings. Included in the list is Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, and the Nasi is like them, meaning that the Nasi will also, either he just isn't included at all, or he is going to bring a fluctuating price korban, to the exclusion of Rebbe Lazar, who says that in the case of the Nasi with regard to Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, he would bring a fixed price korban. So the source that the Gemara cites here of Hamisha Mavi and Korban Al-Viyored, and it says Nasi Kayotzi Bohen, is to the exclusion of Rebbe Lazar's approach. Su ha desnan arba avos nezikin. At the very beginning of Maseches Bava Kama, the Mishnah says there are four primary forms of damage, and the Mishnah goes to over there lists the four off minyan olam ali. Why do you have to state four when you can just count them in the Mishnah? Answer: La fuke midrebo shaya. The purpose of the Mishnah at the beginning of Bava Kama is to exclude Rav Hoshaya, the Omar Yud Gimel Ovas Nezikin Hain. Rav Hoshaya says there are 13 categories of primary examples of damage. So, and Rav Hoshaya says there are 13, and Rav Hoshaya has a Tanaic source that he authors in which the 13 are listed. So that the beginning of Bava Kama says four primary forms, to the exclusion of that which Rav Hoshaya says that there are 13. Now, in our limud now, in our study of Maseches Krisis, we're not going to get into the significance of what an Av Nezikin is, but suffice it to say that there are different types of offenses, and they are categorized other as Ovos or not. So the beginning of Bava Kama says there are four, and that is to the exclusion of Rav Hoshaya's categorization, who says there are 13. The Gemara asks, Ulu Rav Hoshaya minyan olam ali, according to Rav Hoshaya, who says there are 13, and then goes on to list them, why does he have to say 13? Answer, Lafuke mid Rabbi Chiya. Rav Hoshaya's purpose is to the exclusion of Rabbi Chiya's approach to the topic of Ovois Nezikin. Damar Chof Dalid Ovois Nezikin. Rabbi Chiya says there are 24 primary categories of Nezikin. And he also has a Tanaic source that he authors and lists the 24 off. So the obvious question is, Rabbi Chiya minyan olam ali, and according to Rabbi Chiya, what's the purpose of telling me 24? Answer, La'afuke mosur umefragel, to the exclusion of two types of damagers that will not fall into the category of Ovos Nezikin. Now, at this point, we're going to mention a little bit about Ovos Nezikin, but only with the purpose of explaining these last two examples. As far as Reb Chiya is concerned, if something is categorized as an Ovos Nezikin, the offender or the damager, the one who inflicts that one of those 24 different types of damage, he will have to pay from what's called metav, from his best quality land. In the absence of a cash payment to compensate the victim, he will be expected to pay from top quality real estate that he may own. Often people have various levels of real estate, of different property qualities. Different qualities of property, from poor, middle to best. When it comes to a Nezikin payment, one is expected to pay with his best quality land to compensate for the loss he inflicted on the victim. So there are 24 examples of damage that one inflicts and from which he would be expected to pay from Metav, top quality land. There are two other examples of damage that even Rabbi Chiya will concede will not be expected to pay from top quality land. Those are called, one is Mosur. Mosur is a person who is an informer. He tells the government about someone owing money or whatever, but the damage that he causes to his friend is through his informing on him to the government. And informing is through speech, it's non-action. and it's a type of damage that you cannot see. It's not a perceptible damage. Rashi here refers to it as it's hezek through dibor, and it's a hezek she'eno nikur. It's a non-obvious damage, and as a result of that, it's not under the category of standard damages, and therefore payment is not going to be made from the meitav. The second example here is mefagel. That's a reference to a kohen. When processing someone's sacrifice, he processes it with an incorrect mindset. For example, he slaughters it with the intention of having the meat eaten a week later. That's at the wrong time. That ruins the korban. It's considered a loss. In other words, the korban is pasul, and the owner will have to bring a new korban if such a thing took place. However, when you look at the korban that was processed with the incorrect mindset, you don't see any damage. Again, that would be a case of a hezek she'eno nikur. It's something you can't, it's not perceptible. And as a result, it's not categorized as a standard form of damage, and therefore he will not pay from the meitav. The Gemara continues with a quote from something mentioned earlier, Omar Mar, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow at the top line, opposite the top line of this page. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Minyan de Arayas, the number that we give in the context of forbidden relations, Melamed teaches us Dim Ason Kulan Behelam Echod Chayav Al Kol Echod VeEchod, that if he violates multiple forbidden relations of intimacy, he in one state of lack of awareness, he will be Chayav on each one separately. Now the Gemara, Omar Mar. Here we're referring to a case of someone who had relations with multiple arayas. Arayas are illicit relations. He will be chayav for each one separately. So, Bishlamo Potter Lagamri Lo Motzis Amris. I understand that if a person has multiple intimacy experiences, to say that he's totally exempt, that one can't say. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in the Torah says, Ki chol asher yasim mikol ha-ta'evoy se'elah v'nichrasu. He who violates any of these to'evos, these abominations, shall be cut off. Kores. Elo Emo. However, here we have a new marking, and this is explained under the Mivneh on the outside margin. The Emo is featured in a house marking. Nisyonos attempts lahakshois al din hana. We're going to try to attack the din that we said that for multiple illicit relations there will be that generates multiple offenses, and hence multiple sacrifices will need to be brought. So here the Gemara suggests an alternative. Elohim Ovar Chada Nishayev Chada. If one violated one type of illicit relation, so he'll bring one sacrifice. Ovar Kulhu Behelam Achas Eino Chayev Elo Achas. If he were to violate all of the different illicit relations in one state of lack of awareness, let him bring only one sacrifice. Who is to say that there is a separate sacrifice needed or generated by each separate illicit relationship? Omer Rabbi Yochanan answers, Lekach yotzos kores ba'achoysoi lechalek. The Torah specifies in the case of relations with sister a separate posuk that tells us that one who has relations with one's sister will be chayav the kores punishment. Why does the Torah go out of its way to tell me that there is a kores punishment with sister when you have the Torah already telling us
at the end of the list of illicit relations, there's a general pasuk telling us that one who violates any of them, and we actually saw this pasuk just a few lines above, where it said, for all of the different illicit relations, there's a kores penalty. Why does the Torah go out of its way to specify in the case of sister? So Rabbi Yochanan says that is trying to show that just like sister is an individual type or example of an illicit relationship, and it itself on its own it carries with it guilt, so too each and every other one of the illicit relationships generates a separate guilt, and in the case where one violated unwittingly, he'll bring a korban chatos. Maskif lo Rav Bevai bar Abaye. So Rav Bevai asks, Emo, maybe Achoisoi deporat kro nechayev chado alo. Vekulon kevon de behelem achas lo nechayev elo achas. Maybe if a person, let us say, violated having relations with his sister, and then violated having another set of multiple illicit relations, that for the sister affair, he'll bring one sacrifice, because the Torah separated or specified sister. But as far as all the other illicit relations, even if he does multiple illicit relations, if he does it in one state of lack of awareness, he will be chayav only one collective sacrifice. Maybe that's the approach that we ought to take, suggests Rav Bevai. So now the Gemara asks on the question, and we've called this a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines develop the question that we'll now ask on Rav Bevai's suggestion. Rav Bevai bar Abaye mi lesle hodo desanya. Does Rav Bevai bar Abaye not acknowledge the following Tanaic teaching, which says, kol davar shehoye bichlal v'yotze min haklal, anything that was part of a general teaching in the Torah, and then yotze min haklal means it was taken out of the general teaching and specified. Why did this happen? L'lameid, it comes to teach. Lo l'lameid al atzmo yotza, it isn't coming to teach about itself. In other words, I would already know about it as being part of the general rule. So why is one of the examples that fits into the general rule, why is it specified? Elo l'lameid al haklal kulo yotza. It's specified in order to shed light on the rest of the general teaching. Ketzad, what is an illustration of this? So the pasuk says, "Vanefesh asher tochal bosar mizevach hashlomim." This is talking about the consumption of sacrificial meat when one has bodily tuma, when tumas aguf, when the person is tamei, and he eats a korban. Now, and we know that for eating a korban in Tumas Aguf, there's a kores punishment. Now, you have a pasuk that speaks about the eating of a shlomim korban. V'halo shlomim b'chlal kol hakodshim hayu. Well, a shlomim was part of all the rest of the all. Just one example of many other sacrifices. Lama yotsu. Why was the shlomim featured individually? When we already know that that one must be of ritual purity in order to eat all kinds of korbanos, why was shlomim specified? Answer: lahakish alehen, to compare other sacrifices to shlomim. Ma shlomim shehein kodshei mizbeach v'chayovim alehen, just like the shlomim is a sacrifice for the altar. It's sanctified to serve as a sacrifice to the altar, and it generates a it's prohibited to consume it when you are experiencing tumas aguf, personal someone is tomei, af kol shehin kotshe mizbeach hayovin alein. So to anything else that has been sanctified as a sacrifice to the altar will be guilty if he eats it when he is betumas aguf. Yotsu kotshe mizbeach habayis, to the exclusion of something that was dedicated to the temple repair fund. Let us say someone took a chicken and dedicated to the temple repair fund. So it's also a form of kotshim. It's a form of something that's sanctified. However, it's not sanctified to the altar. As a result of that, if a person, let us say, took a chicken that was dedicated to the Berek Habayis and ate it in a state of Tumas Haguf, he would not be chayav Kores and not be chayav a Korban Chatas. For our purposes, though, we are asking on Rav Beifai because this illustrates something, that where you have an item that was part of a general teaching, and then it was taken out and focused upon in a separate pasuk, the focusing on such an example is there to shed light on the whole general teaching. So that if ahoso, in our previous example, the illicit relations with sister, was part of the general teaching of all illicit relations, and we know that all illicit relations carry with it a kores penalty, and if done unwittingly, there would be a korban chatas brought. Why did the Torah specify in a separate context sister? So it would stand to reason that it's there to shed light on all the other illicit relations. And as such, just like sister generates an individual chiyuv, obligation to bring a sin offering, so to any other individual illicit relation would do the same. So that if one did multiple illicit relations, each one would generate a separate korban. So doesn't Rav Beifai acknowledge that? Omar loch Rav Beifai bar Abaye. Rav Beifai responds, Umino. Umino means, and from the very example you brought, Lav mi amris hosom yotsu kotshe berek habayis. Didn't you acknowledge over there in the case of kotshim and tumas haguf that berek habayis was an exception? The items dedicated to the temple repair fund as opposed to dedicated to the altar, the kotshe berek habayis were an exception. Hochanami. Ma achoisoi miyuchedes shi erva, the ain lo heter b'chaye oisra. I might say, listen, you know, sister isn't going to really shed light on all the forbidden relations, because the sister illicit relationship has the following characteristics. It's an erva, meaning a forbidden relative. The ain lo heter b'chaye oisra, sister is a type of relation that will never become allowed to a brother. Af kol, so to any other she'ein lo heter b'chai osra. Okay, I will acknowledge that sister can shed light on other illicit relationships that have that characteristic, that they will never become mutter to the individual unto whom they are forbidden. However, yotzo eishes iish, I will exclude a married woman. We know that we work with the assumption that it's forbidden to have relations with a woman who's married to another man. However, if I were to learn principles from Achoso, I would come to the conclusion that Eishes Ish, married woman, is different. Why? Sheyesh lo heter b'chaye baila. If that man to whom she's married happens to divorce her, if he gives her a get, a divorce document, so the man is still alive, but she, the married woman, is now unmarried. She would become mutter. So Rav Beifai is essentially telling me, if you expect me to learn that Achoso is going to shed light on a separate chiyuv for each and every illicit relation, it's not going to be an effective tool for gaining that goal, because there are examples of ervos that are unlike the case of sister. Omar Rav Yoina v'itema Rav Huna v'reid Rav Yeshua. Omar Kro. The pasuk says ki chol asher yaseh mikol hatoevos. This pasuk we saw cited earlier. Hukshu kol harayos kula machoso. The Torah compares all forbidden relations to sister. Ma'achosu chayavim lo b'fnei atzmo. Just like sister generates a separate penalty, a separate punishment, af kol chayavim aleo b'fnei atzmon. So too, all other forbidden relations are chayav on their own, as separate chiyuvim. And hence, if a person does intimate experiences with different forbidden relatives, each experience will generate a separate chiyuv, a separate korban chatas. Now, the fact that the Gemara says hukshu kulan, hukshu as a hekesh means what they're all compared to the case of achoso. And when you have a hekesh, it's a very strong type of limud, of revelation. And therefore, we don't ask questions. We don't challenge a hekesh. That's just a general rule of learning. So therefore, if before Rav Bevi made you feel uncomfortable with comparing other arayas to achoso, since we're now told it's a hekesh, we don't let that bother us. The Gemara now asks, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, this is a new name for us, Ulu Rabbi Yitzchok Delmar Chayvei Krisus Bechlal Hoyu. Chayvei Krisus, the illicit relations were taught in a general posuk. The Loma Yotza Koreis Bachos, so why is there a separate Koreis posuk for sister? Loduna Bechoreis Velo B'malkos. According to Rabbi Yitzchok, the purpose of the sister being isolated was not to teach me what's called l'chalek, but rather to teach me that if one is guilty of a kores type offense, he is not to get lashes. That precludes getting lashes, even though you're dealing with a negative offense. And in general, psukim in the Torah, or commandments that are negative in nature, they generate a lashing punishment, a punishment of lashings. Rabbi Yitzchok says those kind of negative commands that are high of kores, they get kores and not lashes. So Rabbi Yitzchok uses this achoso isolation for this purpose. Laduna b'kores v'lo b'malkus. So l'chalek minole, where will he learn this concept of individuality from? Answer. Nafka le, Rabbi Yitzchok will learn it from Mive'el Isha Benidas Tumasa Lo Sikrav. And from this we learn L'chalek Al Kol Isha V'Isha. The Pasuk says Vel Isha Benidas Tumasa. And from this he sees the idea, it could have just said Ulanida Lo Sikrav, don't draw unto the menstruant woman. Why does the Pasuk add the word Isha? To tell me that for each different type of isha, of forbidden relationship, there will be a separate penalty. The Gemara asks, well, for Rabbanan Ami Tepo Glemi Vel Isha Benidas Tumasa. The Rabbanan, who up till now were learning this concept of Lechalik from Achosa, why don't they learn from this source of Vel Isha Benidas Tumasa Lo Sikrav? The Gemara says, Inochinami, you know, you're right, that's a good idea. We can actually learn l'chalek from ve'el isha b'nidas tumasa. Elo koreis d'achoso l'mayoso. Then, if that's the case, then what's the purpose of the Torah isolating achoso, or separating it, or making a separate statement about koreis by achoso, when achoso was already part of the rest of forbidden relations? Answer: Miboya lei l'chalek al achoisoi v'al achois oviv v'al achois imoi. I need the Achoso Pasuk to tell me that if someone has relations with his own sister, with his father's sister, with his mother's sister, all in one state of lack of awareness, he'll have to bring three separate korbanos. The Gemara asks, do you really need a special pasuk for that? Hani loma luhu lechalik. Why, in that case, do you need a pasuk to tell me that he brings three separate sacrifices? Arei shemus muchlokin very gufin muchlokin. It's obvious. You have three separate labels. You have a personal sister, you know, one's own sister, father's sister, mother's sister, three separate categories. And they're three separate people. Gufin muchlokin, they're three separate people. So of course you'll bring three separate sacrifices. I don't need the Torah to go out of its way to inform me of that by spelling out achoso in a separate pasuk. Elo emo, but more accurately, we'll say, that's why we have a little base here. Before we had an aleph, this is a restatement of what the Gemara intended. Elo emo lechalik al, to create a sense of bringing, distinction, of separate korbonus, for the following case, l'chalek al achoso shi achos aviv v'shihi achos imo. One woman that carries upon her three labels. Now, how can you have such a thing? How can you have a case of someone who is one's own sister, and at the same time it's his father's sister, and it's also his mother's sister? This can be found in what's called the case of Rashia bar Rashia, the sinner or the evil person, son of evil person. And we have a little chart that illustrates this on the margin of your Gemara. You see, there's a little star here in our Gemara just to draw your attention to the case of Rashia bar Rashia. On our little chart, you can see there is a number of arrows and all, but it's a chart that's easy to read if you just follow the sequence of events. The numbering here is designed to illustrate the sequence of events. You have a mother, and she has her own son. The Ben, her son, has relations with his mother. It's forbidden, of course, but that's what happened. And that's the first stage, and that relationship produced two daughters. Now, those daughters are, in effect, this Ben's own sisters. At this point, the Ben then has relations with one of those girls, one of his sisters, and they produce a Ben. That you can see by the number 2. That Ben then goes and has relations with the other Bas. At that point, what is happening? That number 3 stage, in fact, is a violation of Achoso. That's his own sister, because this Ben and the girl, they have a common father, so that makes it his own sister. It's also Achos Aviv. It's also the sister of his father, because the last Ben on the chart, his father and that Bas were brother and sister through a common mother, the Aim. And it's also Achos Imo. As you can see on the chart, the Bas that this final Ben had relations with happens to be the sister of his own mother. So what we have here is a person is in one act of forbidden intimacy, he is in violation of three separate offenses. And that's what the isolation of Achoso in the Torah accomplishes. That even though it's just one act, but it has three labels attached to it, and that's why he's going to be chayev for three separate korbanos. And what is all that learned from? That's learned from the Achoso pasuk. Now the Gemara goes back to Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak was cited earlier. Reb Yitzchok, if you remember, had used Achoso to tell me, just a few lines up, to tell me that Loduna Bekoris Velo Bemalkus. So the Gemara asks, as far as Reb Yitzchok is concerned, Ha Milsa Minole, where will he learn the case of Rishia Bar Rishia from? Answer, Nafgole Min Seifa Dekra. He learns it from the expression Achoso at the end of the Pasuk. Dichtiv Ervas Achoso Gila. That Achoso is extra, so to speak, and available to teach the case of Rishia Bar Rishia. V'Rabbonon Achoso de Seifa Dekra Mai Avdile. What do the Rabbonon do with that Pasuk? Miboyole, now we're at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. They need it la'achosoi shehi bas aviv ubas imo. The idea of a sister can be a regular sister. When we say regular, it means two children have the same parents. In other words, it's a sister because they have this man has a with this girl have a common mother and father. There's also something we might call a half sister, where two people have a brother and sister have a common father, but they are the result of different mothers, and likewise a common mother, but not a common father. So the extra achoso, we'll call the achoso of the end of the pasuk, comes to tell me about one having relations with his full-fledged sister. You see, the pasuk talks about relations with a sister, but a sister from a common mother or a common father. But the pasuk doesn't speak explicitly about relations with a full-fledged sister. How do I know that relations with a full-fledged sister are also prohibited? Well, I learned it from this extra reference to sister, Achoso de Seifa. Now, you might say, one second, if I have psukim that tell me about half-sister as being prohibited, then wouldn't it follow through a kal vachomer that for a full-fledged sister she would certainly be prohibited? Namely, if for a half-sister, common father, or a half-sister, common mother, either one of them are considered prohibited, if one has both parents in common, then kal vachomer they would be prohibited. Such a sister would kal vachomer be prohibited. So what the Torah is doing here is telling us, I have a separate pasuk, and I'm not being left on my own to use kal vachomer logic to come to that conclusion. And the Gemara says, this is lomar, this shows me, this teaches me, she'ein oinshin min hadin, that min hadin means through kal vachomer logic, that one is not allowed to conclude issues of punishment if one is going to use kal vachomer logic for that purpose. And therefore, I understand logically that a full-fledged sister certainly would be prohibited. But since this is the use of a kal vachomer to arrive at an issue of punishment, we say that it, unless it's spelled out black on white, in other words, a separate pasuk, some type of separate reference to this additional kind of sister, I wouldn't have known it. So we learn a principle from the extra reference to Achoso to include full-fledged sister. I learned this principle of Ein Oinshin Min Adin, that unless there's a reference in the pasuk, using kal vachomer logic will not be effective in coming to conclusions regarding issues of punishment. Reb Yitzchok Savar, Reb Yitzchok, who used the Achoso de Seifa for the case of Rishia Bar Rishia, what about this issue? Well, he holds, number one, Einshin Min Adin, that you can use kal vachomer logic to come to conclusions regarding punishments. The Iboy Esema, another approach with regard to Reb Yitzchok is,
that really ain oinshin min adin, but where will he know that from? Yolif oinish mei azhora. He learns issues concerning punishment from the issue of the azhora. Azhora is a posik in the Torah that states something in the negative, in other words, a loisase. In general, in order to carry out a punishment in the Torah, you need to have two psukim. You have to have one posuk that serves as an azhara and a separate posuk that features the punishment. Rabbi Yitzchak will say, Ein ochinami, I agree, Ein oinshin min adin. Where do I know that from? I know that from the azhara. How does that operate? Rashi explains on the second line from the top, you see Rashi, Iboyasema, the Rabbi Yitzchak Ein oinshin min adin, that he in fact holds that you don't use Kal v'chomer logic to conclude issues of oinish. The oinish b'achosim min ha'av min ha'av min ha'aim, the oinish, the punishment for having illicit relations with a full-fledged sister, the Rabbi Yitzchak nafgalei diyolif oinish me'azhora. He learns the principle of Ein oinshin min adin from azhora. Keshem shehizir aleo keshara rayas. Just like there is an azhora for full-fledged sister, like any other forbidden relative, kach onash aleo. So too, she will generate a punishment. that is the full-fledged sister. The azhora dida, the azhora for a full-fledged sister. Meforish psachas makis yomakro. The pasuk says ervas bas ovicha o bas imcha. The erva of the daughter of your father, which would be a sister, or the daughter of your mother, also a sister. Ein li ela bas ovicha shelo bas imcha. From that I would only learn half sisters. Bas avicha v'imcha minayin. Where do I know full-fledged sister? Talmud lomer lach achuscha hi lo segal erev osa. So you have a achuscha hi pasuk deals with the we'll call third kind of sister, namely full-fledged sister. So she is spelled out with an azhora. Just like there is an azhara, kach onash aleh, we will likewise assume the onesh along with it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.